Here are a few quick tips from Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Parenting children with ADHD can be a challenge. Here are a few tips you can try today. Praise your child more than criticize. Consistency is key and helps with remaining focused. Seek support. Remember, it takes a village, and you don't have to do it alone. Get help from Chad. Quick tips are brought to you by Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Get more tips on chad.org. Visit, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I am your guest host, ADHD Coach Caroline McGuire, and we have a great show for you tonight. Our title is ADHD Lies and Rationalizations, The Art of Self-Sabotage. And with us in our virtual studio is Ari Tuckman. Tonight is February 3rd, 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Before we get into the meat of the show, a few announcements. Dr. Barkley has asked us to promote the ADHDfund.com crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming to think about, very much so. That is why I've made a list of my top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR. This year's International ADHD Professionals Conference, hosted by the ADHD Coaches Organization, is being held in Reston, Virginia, April 28th to May 1st. If you are a professional who wants to learn coaching skills to use with your clients and needs tools to build your business, or you're a member of the public who would like to attend an open house, go to ADHDProfessionalsConference.com to register for the International ADHD Professionals Conference today. And I think that's the end of the announcements. Let's get into the meat of the show. Again, with us in our virtual studio is Ari Tuckman. And Ari Tuckman is a frequent visitor here on Attention Talk Radio and a friend of mine and Jeff Copper. He's a great clinical psychologist. He specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He is the author of three books, Understanding Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook, More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and the Integrative Treatment for Adult ADHD, a practical, easy-to-use guide for clinicians. He is a frequent speaker and has given more than 250 presentations on ADHD and other topics. He has over 100 episodes of and almost 2 million downloads of his More Attention, Less Deficit podcast. It's a great podcast. Check it out. And he is a member of the National Board of CHAD. More information is available at adultadhdbook.com. Ari, welcome to the show.
It was great to be here, and I'm glad to do my first show with you.
Thank you so much. I'm psyched to be with you. Now, Ari, at the CHAD conference, a bunch of us were treated, actually a packed room with people practically lopping out the door, came to hear a presentation on lies and rationalizations. And It was great, but also I think a topic that many people can relate to. Just today I had a client who was actually espousing for me her favorite lies and rationalization. So give me a little bit of background on this topic and why you pulled it together.
Sure. So, you know, it's a fun topic, I have to say. And so the gist of it is that we all tell ourselves these little lies to kind of get through the day. And it's those little kind of BS things that we tell ourselves that if we were really honest with ourselves, we would say, yeah, okay, that's not really so good. So, like, you know, an easy example is, you know, you take a second cookie and then maybe a third, and you're like, well, I don't eat that many cookies generally. Or, you know, I did a push-up yesterday, so I think I can, you know, have three or four more cookies now. So it's these bogus little things that we tell ourselves. And we all do it. You know, we all tell ourselves these little lies, or the kind of psych 101 term for it really would be rationalization. So that's kind of like the fancier word for it, where we kind of rationalize. We come up with excuses, kind of plausible, vaguely plausible excuses to do that thing that we really want to do. But if we were actually honest, we wouldn't actually do. We'd say, yeah, that's not really a good thing for me. And, you know, kind of the joke here is that if we didn't all have the ability to rationalize, then places like McDonald's wouldn't exist. Like, they would not exist in the world. Right? Because they're not good for you. Like, nothing at McDonald's is healthy. They're bad for the environment. They don't really treat their workers well. Like, there's really not much redeeming about McDonald's, except it tastes good and it's convenient and it's cheap, you know? So, like, we come up with reasons why it's okay to go to places like that. So, so I think it's important then to kind of pay attention, to catch ourselves. Like, what are those little lies that you're telling yourself that you tend to get yourself into trouble with?
I love it. So I think Jeff Copper would jump out of his seat if I didn't say we're sort of paying attention to what we're paying attention to. And in this case, you're telling us that we all have these little lies. But I'm guessing that the topic of this discussion pertains to ADHD for a few reasons.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a number of reasons why it's relevant. So, yeah, and even in terms of the, you know, this idea of paying attention, it's not, like, the way that the attention angle on this is that when we tell ourselves these little lies, we're kind of paying attention to, you know, like, parts of the situation, but not the entirety of the situation. So, you know, with this cookie example, we're paying attention to, oh, boy, those sure look good. Oh, I can almost smell it. Oh, you know, like, that's what we're paying attention to. We're not paying attention to, well, how much other stuff, how much other junk have I been eating these last few days? What's my diet? Or have I been working out? Am I trying to lose weight? What are my goals? Like, we're not paying attention to those things, that we're paying attention to more the kind of interesting things in the moment, the interesting stimuli in the moment, rather than the bigger picture. And really, in terms of all of these lies, that's the key. It's that we're trying to make our present moment easier or better by telling ourselves these little lies, by letting ourselves off the hook in the moment, and then, of course, ultimately paying the price in the future. So for folks with ADHD, one of the things that we know is that the present pushes folks with ADHD more than the future does. So the present moment is going to pull you. It's going to evoke feelings and thoughts and behaviors more strongly than this, you know, theoretical future that's going to happen, even if that's, whether that's 10 minutes away or 10 years from now. For folks with ADHD, the present is much bigger. They feel it more, and it affects their actions more. They pay attention more to the present moment. But the problem then is that then we regret it afterwards. And, of course, then you can't change it. So, you know, if you have ADHD in the present, you pay more attention to the present. You're maybe more impulsive about acting in the present. You know, we use these little lies to kind of justify stuff for ourselves. So, So in the presentation, then what I did was I kind of came up with some of the most common lies that folks with ADHD are going to tend to tell themselves. And not that, you know, these are like the lies for folks with ADHD, but, you know, certain kinds of situations are going to tend to evoke certain kinds of lies that one might tell themselves. And, you know, different people with different things going on may tell themselves a different set of lies, right? So, like, one of them for folks with ADHD is it's the lie of, like, I'll get to that in a minute. It's a great idea. It's a lovely thought. And sometimes it actually happens, you know? But the problem is that sometimes it doesn't. Maybe not every time. And I don't know what, you know, like, your batting average might be, and I don't know what your batting average should be, but suffice to say, it probably happens less often than you would wish it to be true, that you actually indeed do get to the thing, number one, at all ever, and number two, within 1 minute, you know, as opposed to like a day later. So there's a risk in it that anytime we delay, there's a risk that it's not going to happen. And for folks with ADHD who are more distractible and more forgetful, that risk is higher. You know, the odds of not getting to it a minute from now are higher compared to somebody who maybe doesn't have ADHD.
You also said something, I think that's so true about, you know, we don't ever get to it in the minute or the chances are pretty slim and we don't really pay attention to our overall batting average, right? We don't say, mm-hmm. look at this history. You also said something that I thought was really interesting about, I'll get to it in a minute, and then you said something about slippery activities
right.
that sort of provoke this. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, so slippery, I sort of think about kind of slippery activities as those things that it's easy to slip from that activity into other activities. And of course the old, I'm just going to check my email. This will just take, I just got to shoot off one quick email. This will just take a minute. Like, okay, theoretically that's true. Like if indeed you did go into your email, send one email, and then close it, that probably is about a minute. Except, of course, with activities like email, you open it up, and then you see the new emails that just came in, and then that's where it begins. Then you're like, ooh, I've been waiting for that one. Or, oh, that one looks good. Click. Let's see what that one says. And now that, you know, the clock is running, and that minute is long gone, because one thing leads to another, to another, to another. So, you know, especially for these kind of slippery activities, that little lie of, you know, I'll get to that in a minute, or this will just take a minute, that's kind of a different lie, but it's kind of related. You know, that lie of this will just take a minute, it probably won't, or too often it won't. And, of course, too often, I don't know, it depends on the circumstances. If you're trying to catch a plane, you know, that's a riskier situation. If you got an hour to get somewhere that takes 20 minutes, then you know what, maybe it doesn't matter if you spend a few extra minutes on your email. So it depends on the situation. So, you know, we can certainly cut ourselves some slack. You don't want to go so far the other way where you're so rigid and so driven that you're like, you know, driving yourself into the ground and living a life not worth living. But, you know, but so there's a balance there, and it depends on the circumstances. But I think that, you know, in my working with clients, and then, frankly, if I think about my own life, you know, people tend to have kind of like their favorites, you know, the lies that they kind of tell themselves the most often that get themselves into the most amount of trouble. And I think it's helpful to kind of keep that attention out for kind of identify, like, okay, what are my favorite lies and how do they get me into trouble? And I'm just going to watch for them. And I'm going to notice when I have those thoughts, when I have those temptations, and then try to catch myself at least some of the time, and then try, and this is easier said than done, but try to do something different in that moment. So to really kind of keep a little bit of your attention, you know, scanning for those favorite little lies. And if you only got a few things to look for, it's easier to find them.
I would love that if we all had only a few to look for.
Yeah.
That would be super. I think we have to run to a break, Ari, but I love this idea of scanning our environment for those favorite little lies and sort of trying to pay attention. When we come back, I have a few more that you mentioned that I think are great, and I'd love to talk about those. And you mentioned the you mentioned this whole idea of scanning, so I'd love to come back to that. We're going to take a break. Before we go to commercials, I would just want to mention Ari Tuckman's adultadhdbook.com website. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Looking for a new way to manage your ADHD or ADD? A new clinical trial is testing an investigational medicine for adults with ADHD. The medication is not a stimulant. There's no cost to participate, and health insurance is not required. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD and want to learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the commercials, we were talking with Ari Tuckman, and we were talking about this whole thing that happens with ADHD where we tell ourselves rationalizations or favorite lies, and we sometimes don't really add up the number of little favorite lies we have or pay attention to these rationalizations. And Ari had a great point about slippery activities that we sort of slide from one thing to another. Ari, what role do you think the whole working memory, being poor, effect factors in here?
I think it absolutely factors in. So working memory is one of our executive functions. And, you know, there's a number of different kinds of memory. So when we talk about memory, it's as one thing. It's really not one thing. There's a lot of different facets of it. So working memory, basically, it's that shortest form of memory that takes information in, stores it, pulls information out of long-term memory to give that new memory, the new information, some context, and then aids in the sort of processing, or it stores the information while it's being processed. So as we're working on one thing, so it's like, okay, I need to jump into my email, send one quick email, but I'm not looking at anything else because I remember I got to get out of here and leave in a sec. It's your working memory that is holding that plan in mind as you're going type, 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 type on that one email. And then as you see that, you know, hit send, and then you see in your inbox that interesting email that you've been waiting for, ideally your working memory is still holding that idea of send the email and then go, because, you know, you got that next thing to get to. And as you see that interesting email, hopefully you can pause for a second and your working memory says, oh, remember that other thing. And then you go, oh, yeah. Okay, don't click on that. Look at it later. But when our working memory blinks sometimes, by which I mean new information bumps out the old information, kind of like water in a pipe, like the water flowing in from the back of the pipe pushes the water out at the front of the pipe. You see that email, or at some point along the way of typing the email that you're typing, all the information about typing the email fills up your working memory and pushes out the idea of, remember, as soon as you're done with this, you got to get out of here. And then you send the email, and then you see that new email, and you go, oh yeah, I've been waiting for that. Click. And that thought of, I got to get out of here, is kind of like, it's just gone. And then it's like 5 or 10 or half an hour later that you go, oh my God, that other thing I was supposed to do. So that's the kind of working memory piece of it. And that for folks with ADHD, their working memory tends to be less reliable. So it tends to sort of, as I sometimes say, their working memory gets hijacked by new information. You know, so it could be that email that you see, or it could be that random thought of like, oh, I was supposed to do this thing, or, oh, yeah, I was going to look that up, or whatever. And it kind of bumps out what's in your attention and working memory, and then you're off to the races on that other thing, and, you know, that awesome good plan and good intentions kind of go out the window in that moment.
I love that image, good intentions. First of all, the water and the pipe image is great, but the water sort of overflows your intention and bumps things out. And the idea of things being bumped out and our good intentions flowing away is something I think many of us can relate to. And that goes back to your favorite lies because, you know, in reality, we all have a brain that makes certain things easy and certain things hard. But one thing you pointed out is that these rationalizations are sort of a way to, you know, glean over that and ignore it. And you mentioned the working memory is a huge thing. The other thing you mentioned was I'll put that away later and how that relates to all of this.
Right. So, you know, as we know, a lot of folks with ADHD kind of struggle with organization. And for some people, it's that they struggle with creating a really good organizational system. But there are others who actually could do pretty well in creating an organizational system, but it's just kind of tedious and they don't enjoy it, so they just don't do it. So it's like if you said, I will give you $1 million if you straighten up this office, they'll get that thing looking great, you know, and not just because they threw everything out the window, but, you know, like in a pretty functional kind of a way. But since rarely are you presented with the opportunity to earn $1 million for cleaning up your own office, it just doesn't happen, you know. So, so this idea of I'll put that away later is that especially when you're busy, especially when you're running late, especially when there's too many other things going on, it's really tempting to kind of tell yourself that, like, well, I'll just put this over here. I'll put it away later. I don't have time for this right now. And that possibly might be true, you know, like that indeed you don't really have time and that, and putting this away is not the best use of the limited time you have, and it's better, in fact, to do it later. But the problem is that if you do that too much, then too many things pile up, and then it reaches a point where as more and more piles up, it just gets easier and easier to just chuck more on it because it doesn't actually make it look that much worse. And then it becomes a situation where there's so much there to deal with that it's just like, ugh, I don't have it in me to spend 3 hours organizing all this. So, you know, it just kind of goes from bad to worse at that point. And that obviously then has potential social consequences if people see your desk at work and they go, yeesh, what's up with that guy? Or if at home the people you live with feel like, you know, you don't do your share of the cleaning up and putting away and therefore they got to do more than their share of it. So it's tempting, you know, and obviously we all kind of have that desire, at least those of us without OCD. You know, like we all kind of have that desire to just kind of throw things down and not have to worry about it. But it makes it harder. Like it slows you down. All that time wasted looking for things that you can't find is frustrating. And, you know, that then leads to, you know, greater inefficiency. And you then can find things and you forget that they even exist because you don't sort of find them in the places that they're supposed to be. And, you know, so it kind of, it's one of those things that it spins bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's that, like, out of sight, out of mind that could happen to anybody, but possibly more so to folks with ADHD if they're not as good at remembering what it is they need to do and holding that thought forward through time. You know, tomorrow when I come back to the office, I have to remember to fax that thing. Works great if you have, like, one piece of paper as a fax sitting on the corner of an otherwise kind of empty desk, but when there's 400 pieces of paper all over your desk, unless that piece of paper is, like, bright green or currently on fire, you're not going to notice it.
That's a great image, and I'm sure we all can picture the piles and the piece of paper that, again, it's well-intentioned, but mm-hmm. going back to that working memory isn't so great, and so you it's out of sight, out of mind. That's a great, great image. I think we have to go to a break again, and some of you may be picturing your own desk that looks like that.
You could set it all on fire, by the way.
Wishing you could set it all on
fire. Just burn it down. I had this
burn
idea for asbestos-coated furniture, and then when your office gets too messy, you just light it up and close the door. You close the door, you open the window, you walk away, you come back tomorrow, you sweep out the ashes, you're like good to go.
I think that's why they make recycling bins.
Right.
But I love it. So when we come back, we had this great image. We're not condoning a pyromania
arson
here on Attention Talk Radio, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about our favorite lies and how our unique brain wiring kind of plays into that. Before we go, I'd like to remind everyone to go to adultadhdbook.com to see Ari Tuchman's books as well as his very popular podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
A new study is seeking adults 18 to 55 who have been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. The study will examine the effects of an investigational medicine on symptoms of ADHD. The medicine is not a stimulant and works differently than currently approved ADHD medications. To learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Ari Tuchman, who's been making us laugh. And actually, Ari, I was remembering that today my babysitter sent me a picture of her father's office, which resembled that with the piles. And she would want me to mention that because she's a frequent listener to the show. And she took the picture, and I said, hey, I've seen worse. But, you know, the flip side of the sort of dynamic that you've been describing is things that actually we get stuck in. Right. So instead of sort of slippery activities and things that we, you know, rationalize in the one hand, there's also one of my favorite ones was I'll start this after a quick break. And
yes.
And you talked about the downside of that with sticky activities.
Right. Right. So, yes. And I think that, you know, these ideas of slippery and sticky, I think, are good ones. So, you know, it's that I don't know if we should say that the activities are slippery or sticky, or it's that our attention slips away from some and sticks to others. So, you know, this idea of I'll start after a quick break, like, you know, again, there is indeed plausibility to it. Like, you know, I think it's important. Like, these are not delusional ideas. It's not like I'll put this away later. You know, or I'll leave this here and the elves will put it away tonight while I sleep. Like, it's not crazy town stuff. It's just not as likely as we would like it to be. So I'll start after a quick break. It's, you know, that there's like some reasonableness to that. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come at it fresh and, you know, a little bit more energy. And I've been working hard, so I deserve a little bit of time off. Okay, that's not an unreasonable idea, except the problem is when the quick break, becomes a much bigger break. And that's especially true when you, as part of your break, start a sticky activity. So if, I don't know, getting on social media, that's kind of like an easy and frequent kind of target for these kinds of things, for these discussions, that, you know, if getting on social media is never a 5-minute endeavor, you know, it's kind of like, what was it, Lay's chips, you can't eat just one or something.
Right.
You know, like Facebook posts, you can't, you know, post just one. If it's too likely to become too big a thing, then maybe that's not the thing to do during the break. Now, if you got plenty of time for, you know, a break, then knock yourself out. I don't care what you're looking at. But it's a matter of kind of being honest with yourself that if I'm giving myself like a 5 or 10 minute break, then probably social media is not the place for me. You know, I can go do something else, but this is not the thing. And especially if procrastination is already kind of a big struggle, or avoidance or whatever, you don't need to make it easier to procrastinate and make that break longer by doing something that's way more interesting and appealing than the boring thing that you're kind of taking a break from. So let's kind of stack the deck in your favor of getting done the thing that you're going to feel better about later having completed, rather than stacking the deck in the favor of doing the much more appealing, exciting, interesting thing in the moment that then later you're going to feel worse about.
And what I think is really interesting about that is you're not saying never to take a break. You're
yeah.
saying that there's a choice involved in that. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that the
exactly.
choice can help you along.
Yeah. And to think about, you know, if I take a longer break now, how does this spill forward? So I start that thing I'm supposed to be doing, you know, let's say filing those papers or something. I'm supposed to be filing those papers now. If I don't do them now, I'm going to have to do it later. What is that going to bump into, you know, later today or into this evening? So thinking, again, it's beyond the present moment. But I think that, you know, kind of I use the analogy of stacking the deck. I think, you know, we can stack the deck also in a more general sense by sort of managing your energy level. So in other words, getting enough sleep, exercising with some regularity, eating a healthy diet, managing your stress. I mean, this is all the obvious kind of what I call the New Year's resolution stuff. Super easy to say, obviously harder to do. But, you know, if you're just exhausted, of course the break is going to be too long. You know, because it take you don't have that much energy in the tank to begin with, and it takes you longer to kind of refuel it, and you don't have the mental stamina to be like, let's just get this done, if you're really kind of tired, for example. So it's not just sort of in that one moment, but it's like, you know, setting yourself up for success in a more general sense by having a good lifestyle that contributes to good kind of brain functioning.
I think that that's very true. So you're tying all this together to sort of the body, the mind, and choices. But also, it really sounds like one of the pieces that I'm taking away from this that is to really think about your favorite life and what does that do? And I love this image of spilling. Did you say spilling forward?
Mm-hmm.
So you're sort of saying it's a domino effect.
Yeah, and it absolutely can be. You know, and I think for a lot of folks with ADHD, there's too often this sense of kind of, you know, living life two steps ahead of the avalanche. You know, that you're always kind of like just barely ahead of it. And of course, two steps ahead sometimes means two steps behind. That there's a sense of always kind of scrambling just in front of disaster or just in front of some problem. And, man, that's a stressful way to go through life. So to find some ways to get a little bit more on top of things, and I think that, you know, some of that involves finding more efficient ways to do the things that you're doing. But, you know, some of that also sometimes involves finding ways to do less. You know, to really kind of assess, like, what am I doing? Where's my time going? What's worth it to me? What's not worth it to me? And beginning to make some choices, kind of more bigger picture choices, about what you want your life to look like, which doesn't mean that you got to sell everything and, you know, live in a tent in the woods or anything. But I don't know. Maybe there are some choices to be made in your life to kind of simplify it down a little bit so you can more effectively manage. And frankly, this is kind of good advice for anybody.
I think that that's really a great way of thinking about it, that you're tying it to sort of the larger picture. When the chaos reigns, you know, looking at what are my choices, what are my big picture choices, what is my lifestyle. And I love that image of the avalanche. I think the desk I saw today is definitely going to end up in an avalanche, but I think that that's something where rather than torching our offices and getting rid of all paper, maybe it's that we get in front of it a little bit by looking at these rationalizations and these lies. Because I have to say, when you catalog them, one of the reasons all the audience was laughing and laughing is because they rang so true,
right,
to all of us. Thank you so much. This is great.
Well, I think that the best part of the presentation actually was at the very end where I opened it up to the audience and I was like, okay, what did I miss? Like, what else, what are other awesome lies that I should include? And everyone just started yelling them out, like just one at a time. People were yelling them out. Someone would yell something out. People would laugh or they'd like shake their head like, oh, dude, totally. And that was like one of the best parts of the presentation because it was such a fun energy that people could sort of acknowledge it but not feel judged and not feel bad about it because it was like, okay, we're all in this together. So there were some awesome, awesome examples that came out of that as well. I wish I remembered them all.
I should have written them down. You're right. That was an absolutely fun one. And I actually shouted one out too, which I, working memory, I can't remember at all what I said, but it was something I tell myself. And I definitely think that that was fun. And I guess I'll challenge our audience to maybe sit down and think about your favorite lies and have a good laugh with yourself and then see what you'd like to do. Thank you, Ari, for coming and being on the radio with us. This was really fun. Everyone, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.